Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and a very warm welcome to today's broadcast. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick, bringing you a special program focusing entirely on Pope Benedict XVI's apostolic visit to the Republic of Benin. Well, thanks so much for joining me. Finally there, Benedict XVI's 22nd journey abroad takes him on his second apostolic visit to Africa, to the Republic of Benin, where he'll be visiting two cities, the economic capital, Cotonou, and the city of Ouidah, the Catholic hub of the nation, with its seminary which serves the whole of this geographical area. A visit which clearly has a local outreach, but also a broader one to the entire African continent. This West African nation chosen as the venue for the signing and presentation of a document intended to shape the future of the African continent borders in the south with the Atlantic Ocean and was once part, sadly, of the slave coast. And a monument to that chapter in its history known as the Gate of No Return now stands as a reminder in Ouidah. Formerly known as the Kingdom of Dahomey, Benin has other borders, which include Togo to the west, Nigeria to the east, and to the north, Burkina Faso and Niger. The document I've just mentioned is the concluding one for the 2009 Special Assembly of the Synod of Bishops for Africa, which brought more than 200 bishops to Rome in an effort to discuss the Church in Africa in service to reconciliation, justice and peace. That's the broader outreach. The more local one, as you'll discover in the course of the coming days, regards three aspects. First, celebrations for the anniversary of 150 years since evangelization. Second, homage to the figure of a highly respected Catholic in this nation, the first sub-Saharan African cardinal, the late Bernardin Gantin, considered in a sense the father of the nation so famous the airport is named after him. And a friend and colleague of our present Holy Father. Let's recall for a moment how at one point they both headed two major congregations, respectively that for bishops and for the doctrine of the faith. Finally, the third aspect is another anniversary marking 40 years since diplomatic relations between Benin and the Holy See were established. Stay tuned as I bring you a report on the Pope's first afternoon in Benin.
Achimauton nikondo beninto ji.
God bless Benin, said Pope Benedict XVI in Fon, a local language, as he arrived in the Republic of Benin on the afternoon of Friday, November the 18th. It must have been a moving moment for him as he landed at the nation's international airport of Cotonou, this republic's economic capital. An airport named after one he was close to for so many years in the Vatican, the first sub-Saharan African cardinal, Bernardin Gantin. Earlier on, answering journalists' questions on the plane, he'd highlighted his admiration for his former colleague's practical and profound intelligence and faith, and even his sense of humour. And when he was greeted by the president of the nation, Mr. Thomas Yayi Bono and his wife, together with civil and religious authorities, the atmosphere was warm and welcoming in true African style. And the Holy Father expressed his affection both to the government and to the local bishops' conference for inviting him during the year in which Benin celebrates the 40th anniversary of the establishment of diplomatic relations with the Holy See, as well as the 150th anniversary of its evangelization. The Pope then highlighted the broader outreach of this apostolic journey. It fulfills my desire, he said, to bring back to African soil the post-synodal apostolic exhortation Africaemunus.
Africaemunus. Ces réflexions guideront l'action pastorale de nombreuses.
Its reflections will guide the pastoral activities of numerous Christian communities in the coming years. May this document set seed and take root, grow and bear much fruit. In one case, 100-fold, in another, 60, and in another, 30, as Christ himself said. More broadly, in his arrival speech, Benedict also paid tribute to the former kingdom of Dahomey's ancient and noble traditions, pointing to the contribution of traditional chiefs on the path forward. I would like, he stressed, to encourage them to contribute with their wisdom and understanding of local customs in the delicate transition currently underway from the traditional to the modern. Finally, the Pope highlighted how the Church might contribute in a specific way to that path forward by her presence, her prayer, and her various works of mercy, especially in education and healthcare. She wishes to give her best to everyone. She wants to be close to those who are in need, near to those who search for God. She wants to make it understood that God is neither absent nor irrelevant, as some would have us believe, but that he is a friend of man. It is in this spirit of friendship and fraternity that I come to your country.
C'est dans cet esprit d'amitié et de fraternité que je viens dans votre pays, Monsieur le Président.
Following his arrival, Pope Benedict then covered the 12 kilometers to the Cathedral of Cotonou by Pope Mobile, surrounded by crowds of enthusiastic Beninois. Crossing the two bridges over the canal between the lagoon and the Atlantic Ocean and slowly making his way towards the city's cathedral. An early 20th century architectural feat decorated in alternate rows of burgundy and white brick. It's dedicated to Our Lady of Mercy, and when the Pope spoke, he focuses attention precisely on mercy. As we praise God for the marvels which he never ceases to bestow upon humanity, I invite you, he said, to meditate for a moment on his infinite mercy.
Je vous invite à méditer un instant sur sa miséricorde infinie.
A moment earlier, he had shone the spotlight on two former archbishops of Cotonou buried there, describing them as heroic workers in the vineyard of the Lord and pastors full of zeal and charity. On a more historical note, the Holy Father did not neglect to point to the decisive role of one of these men, Archbishop de Souza, in the country's transition to democracy. It was a prayerful moment, ending with a blessing and a prayer to Our Lady of Africa, asking her to obtain for all of humanity salvation and peace.
Obtiens pour toute l'humanité le salut et la paix. Amen.
And now, why don't we join one of the closest advisers of the Pope's from Africa, who's with him in Benin right now. He's Nigerian, Cardinal Francis Arinze. Prefect Emeritus of the Congregation of Divine Worship and the Discipline of the Sacraments, he tells us about this document to be presented in Benin, which comes out of the 2009 Second Special Assembly of the Synod of Bishops, which, as I mentioned a moment ago, focused on the Church in Africa in service to reconciliation, justice and peace. Cardinal Arinze tells us about his hopes for the distribution and implementation of this document, although he begins by speaking to us of his role within the papal entourage during the visit.
What will be our role during this special visit? Our role will be to show that the Holy Father has people who assist him in Rome, to pray with the Holy Father and the bishops and other people of Africa, not only of Benin, but also those who participated in the synod 2 years ago. They will come, priests, religious, and of course the bishops. Then it is also our duty to support the Pope so people see that the Pope has people, not only Africans, but from other parts who assist him. It is our duty also to meet the other bishops. We will have informal conversations, and the Pope will have a special meeting with the post-synodal council of that African synod. All that is significant for church and for society. Catholics and other Christians in Africa, and indeed those who are not Christians, they are all concerned in this visit because the Pope is coming to bring his post-synodal apostolic exhortation. That means the document the Pope issues after each synod. This document reflects the discussions and concerns of the participants in that synod. The topic of that synod 2009 was the Church in Africa in the service of reconciliation, justice, and peace. This concerns all of us. Reconciliation, justice, and peace. These go beyond religious frontiers. So not just Catholics, Anglicans, Methodists, followers of African traditional religion, all Africans, and also members of government. What they can do? Pray for God's blessing on the Pope's visit, follow the event through the television and the radio, read the documents, and long after the Pope has gone, continue to study the documents, to discuss them in groups, and to take consequent action. The Catholics in Africa all cannot be in Cotonou and Ouidah on these days of grace, 18 to 20 November, but all can follow over the television, over the radio. All can listen to summaries of the document. It will be important, even after the Pope has gone, to get the full document. In these days of modern media, especially the computer, it is not difficult to download the document so that it can be studied carefully by individuals and by groups, so that lay apostolate groups, priests, bishops, all will focus on the document, dissect it, digest it, study it, and ask themselves, what action does this document ask us to take to promote reconciliation, justice, and peace in our continent? For the bishops and all the Catholics to make sure that this post-synodal apostolic exhortation sinks into the life and work of the Church in Africa, the leadership is expected from bishops and priests. First of all, they themselves must feed themselves with this document so that they really know it, they love it, they have studied it, they have dissected it. Bishops are to encourage their priests to know the document because priests are at the grassroots of the life of the church in the parish. It is therefore the priest who can then lead and persuade the lay faithful and also the religious brothers, sisters, monks, nuns to study the document, to read the document. The document is not reserved to bishops and priests. It is for all in Africa, considering that the topic is reconciliation, justice, and peace. Bishops are also in a very strong position to interest politicians and statesmen so that these also see the document as bringing them some type of support and also some type of persuasion. It's very important. One or two people can cause violence, but when we want justice, peace, and reconciliation, we need all the people. Therefore, we must not forget the politicians, the statesmen, the journalists, the academicians, the teachers, and all people who are leaders in thought and action. Bishops, even if not personally, will have diocesan personnel and structures who can get into all this and make sure that this document becomes very much alive in the church in Africa today and tomorrow. There are also bishops' conferences, not only at the national level, but also at the regional level in Africa. And there is the overall SECAM, Symposium, Episcopal Conferences, Africa and Madagascar. All these will also be able to contribute. They can put the document on the agenda for their meetings. They can also encourage the bishops to get the document reprinted in the various countries, also translated into the people's languages, whatever language is most current in the area, so that the document is in the hands of most Catholics who can read. And also, the prayer of the people it would be good if in the prayer of the faithful in parishes and dioceses there would be an intention added for God's blessing on this papal visit, on the Second African Synod, and on action to be taken in Africa to promote reconciliation, justice, and peace.
And while our thanks there go to Nigerian Cardinal Francis Arinze, Prefect Emeritus of the Congregation of Divine Worship and the Discipline of the Sacraments, we now join the President of Cotonou's Diocesan Committee for the visit. He's Father Augustin Placide Sinon of the Society of African Missions, who affords us a little bit of background regarding the Catholic Church in this 9-million-strong nation which ranks among the world's poorest. Father, I'd like to speak a little bit about the Catholic Church in your nation today, about its makeup. What are its challenges, in your opinion, its weaknesses, its strengths too?
Okay, I think in Africa in general and Benin in particular, the Catholic Church is growing. And as a growing church, the challenges, as you can see, is how can we really witness Jesus Christ today in faith and in deed, in work, in words. So the church is growing, and the new vision, especially for the new evangelization, this evangelization of proximity to the people is one of the challenges, because as you know, the Catholic Church is there. There are all other religions also coming today, and many, especially in our nation. And the presence of the Catholic Church being there for all this time has been a respectful church for the people. But the work have to continue. We have to, as we follow Jesus Christ, witness to the gospel among our people. So the task of a primary evangelization continue as a challenge. That can never stop, because the church by nature is a missionary, and that missionary work will continue. And then also the new community we are building, all these community need to be nurtured. We have to preach the gospel to them. So sometimes the roads are not the good ones. So the challenges of distance to go to reach out to the people in the villages. And also as we put this community in place, try to structure them, get place. So I will say at the local level, we have small challenges, but the biggest news is that Jesus is alive, Jesus is at work, and the people are happy to receive the priest, whatever matter the distance you will travel before you reach there. And that remains the strength of the church, being capable to continue going out as a missionary to preach the gospel to the people.
Benin is a very young nation. I read that 48% of the people are less than 15 years old.
Exactly, that is true. Benin is a young nation, and we're looking at the fact that 150 years ago, the gospel started there, the evangelization started from there before spreading around the nation in the West Coast. Give him also some issue, I will say, some figure as a small but older near the other nation. But we can say today, as the population growing, we have a lot of young people coming up, and I think all these people, for them, it will be a time to many of them to see the first time the Holy Father, and it's occasion to express our gratitude to the Holy Father coming right there in Benin to be with the people in Africa, people of Africa, and experience all that hope, sign of joy that the church bring to these young people you're talking about, yes.
I mentioned earlier that Catholics make up 15% of the population, as Muslims make up the same amount. What are relations between Catholics and Muslims like?
I think in terms of relationship between the Catholic and Muslim, as far as we are concerned, I think it's still a very good relationship between them, in the respect of each other, in the working together, and we continue the dialogue. You see, we are on the land of dialogue as we work alongside in some of the area. But I think this 15% you are talking about concern the whole nation, because when you look at the south of Benin, you will see that the concentration of Catholic is more than 20-25% of the population. And the relationships stay very good, and that is one of the reasons, as the Holy Father do always, he will receive all these people of all religions right there during his visit at the presidential palace on Saturday morning, and to address all of them together. And for us, is a very good sign, just like Pope John Paul II, the late Pope, did when he was there in his last visit in February 1993.
I'd like to mention the African spirit. It's very lively, I think, with a felt participation of the faithful during liturgies, anyway, compared to our Western world. Can you describe it a little for us, and does it draw from indigenous systems of belief?
Yes, I think the joy the African general and the people of Benin express during the liturgy, during the celebration, is part of them. Is part of them, especially in great occasion of just the celebration of the Eucharist. The celebration of the Eucharist for us is a great feast. You know, our Lord Jesus gave his life to save us, and whenever we come together to celebrate that mystery of faith, is always a great moment of joy and happiness. And then, as the Africans are hospitable people, joyful people, all this come out in the celebration of the liturgy in any part of the continent. As a missionary myself, I have worked in Central African Republic. I was in Liberia for many years. And wherever I have been, I experience that great joy and happiness whenever we are celebrating and receiving the universal pastor of the Roman Catholic Church in the person of the Holy Father is really a great, great moment of joy and happiness that the people will express and will experience.
Father, what kind of a relation do Catholics have with traditional religions? Benin's shores used to be referred to as the slave coast a long time ago. Was it from here that voodoo came?
Yes, I think the name voodoo is a name given to the traditional religion in our nation. And it's true, in other parts they give different names. And it's true that the traditional religion is there where our ancestor and many of our grandparents came from, and that religion stayed there. But the great news for us is that today, as people understand better the gospel and understanding who is the person of Jesus Christ, Son of God, who came to die for us and to save all of us, gradually, I can say in a lot of places, the Christianity is gaining the ground and the people coming to the church. The traditional religion stayed there, and we are, as I just said before, we are in good term of relationship, in dialogue with them, to understand that from the creation, our ancestors search and look for God. And today, in Jesus Christ, God has revealed himself in the fullness, so that he helps people now to go a little bit, one step beyond in this understanding. So we keep a very good relationship with them as we help them to understand who we are better and work along so that many people come to know Jesus Christ and give their life for him, because he already saved all of us.
What is the gist of the work that Catholics carry out in Benin? Are you involved in social work?
Exactly. You know, we have the National Caritas that work, and recently, just to give an example, where we have the flood, and there was a lot of water everywhere, places were flooded, and people have to live out from their homes and be in schools and other places. The Catholic Church was highly involved in that work of helping, reaching out to the people. So in the social work, we have Justice and Peace Office. We have to also help the people to understand their human rights and stand for it. And this structure in the Catholic Church show how much the church is involved in the social part of life of the people through, as I just said, Caritas and the Office of Justice and Peace, commission that work along the people. And the people easily in our nation come for priests for any advice, any need to be directed. So in our ordinary ministry, we encounter that social work we have to do to lead or direct people to the direction they need to stand for their own rights. And the church stands for that.
You mentioned the late Cardinal Bernardin Gantin, who died in 2008. He has a special link with the Holy Father because he was created cardinal in the same consistory, wasn't he? And then when he retired as Dean of the College of Cardinals in 2002, he was actually succeeded by our present Holy Father. That's when he was still a cardinal. But you too have a special link to Cardinal Gantin, don't you?
I recall myself a spiritual son of the late Cardinal Gantin because I was ordained priest by him when he was the Dean of the College of the Cardinals on July 8, 1999, just after the death of our former Archbishop, Bishop Isidore de Souza. And he came to ordain us four missionaries for the church there. And then he is a great man for not just Benin also, but for the whole Africa and the world. He's well known, Cardinal Gantin. He traveled all over the world. He worked for the local church, becoming the first Archbishop of the West, I will say the Benin Republic, appointed in 1956. He was ordained February 3rd, 1957. And then after working in Benin as the first Archbishop, succeeding to his own spiritual father, Bishop Louis Parizeau, who was an SMA bishop. Then he went to Rome, and as you just mentioned, to work a long time there in Rome and retire back in Benin. And now he's in that seminary where his body is reposing. And many people like to come there just for a sign of respect and in the memory of the great souvenir they have from him. They visit that seminary there where he is now. And the Pope himself, with that link of all the friendship, the time of work with him in Rome, from the time they have been created, cardinal together, is also passing there, and is a very great sign for Benin and for Africa, that work he has done for the whole universal church.
And our thanks there go to the president of Cotonou's Diocesan Committee for the visit of Benedict XVI, Father Augustin Placide Wessinon of the Society of African Missions. And that brings me up to time. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks so much for joining me. Don't forget that we'll be back again with more coverage of the Holy Father's journey to Benin at this same time tomorrow. Meanwhile, should you wish to check out our website, the address is www.vaticanradio.org. Bye for now. You've been listening to the English program of Vatican Radio. Laudetur Jesus Christus.